This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And then the next one is Fa'al. Do you know one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that takes that form? Fa'al. Anybody? Kareem Abdul Jabbar. Fa'alun Jabbarun. Qahharun. طيب. Excellent. All right. Fa'ilun. Wa anta hadhirun. يعني حذر is somebody that is extra cautious. فاعلون. طيب. Anybody know one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that wasn't فاعل? Huh? Sorry? لا يحذركم الله نفسه. Yes. I'm talking about the one that's on the form فاعل. Because I don't come out. There's nothing on the top of my head. Huh? فاعل فاعل there is حكم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala حكمون. They do mention that as one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب فعول فعول as it mentions up top غفور and فعيل رحيم فعول. What other names do you know that have that same pattern? فعول رؤوف. نعم which we'll cover today inshallah. لا تواب is فعال. تواب, can you see this or no? Okay. تواب is فعال, the second form. عدل ممكن. شكور فعول شكور. أحسنت جزاك الله خير. Alright, last one. فعيل like رحيم. And last week we covered كريم and عليم and سميع and بصير. Okay. So you'll find that a lot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names are on these ozan. They take this form. They take one of these forms or these patterns because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reached the extent of any of the characteristics that he's described with. Okay? Now, why are we talking about this today? Because one of the names that we mentioned is similar in meaning to Kareem is what? Right. I was saying Jawad. And I wasn't Fa'al. Okay? Well, Jawad means Kathir al-Ata. Yani from a linguistic standpoint, it means one who gives a lot. Okay? One who gives a lot. However, it was brought to my attention by one of the brothers. He said, are you sure it's Jawad and not Jawad? So I said, I'll do some research and check it out. There's only one hadith that I'm aware of that mentions that name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only one hadith. Inna Allaha jawadun yuhibbu al-jud. So because I've seen it in several books with the shadda on the wow, jawad, I went with it until it was brought to my attention. Looking back at the hadith, because again, how do we know the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Through revelation. It's not mentioned in the Quran. Okay? It's mentioned in that one hadith. And so, looking back at that one hadith, you need to look at how did the muhaddithin, the scholars of hadith, how did they say that it was narrated? Okay? What harakat did they say go on that particular word so that you can come up with the correct, you know, pronunciation. And the ones that I came across, the muhaddithin that I saw comment on that hadith, they all said that it was jawad without a shadda, not jawad, that it's al-jawad. So for those who believe that that hadith is sahih, and the majority of the scholars of hadith seem to think that it's sahih, then they would say that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-jawad and not al-jawad. All right, so I just want to make that correction. All right, but the reality is that a lot of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names come on this wasn't. So seeing the shadda, I just went for Jawad. But I want you to understand that that's not a way that we can affirm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. We still have to go back to revelation. And according to the hadith, it's Jawad and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. طيب. Moving on to Ar-Ra'uf. Everybody read that. Ar-Ra'uf. Perfect. Okay. And we've translated it as the compassionate. I think it's also okay to say the all kind, for example, the one who was kind. But compassionate, as we'll see, inshallah, catches the meaning. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. All right. Questions for lesson 3. Fadl Sheikh. La ilaha illallah. Oh, I forgot your homework from last time. You guys look happy. All right, we'll keep moving.
Questions for lesson 3. How many times has the name Ar-Ra'uf been mentioned in the Quran? 2. What is the root of Allah's name Ar-Ra'uf? Is there a difference between Ra'fah and Rahmah? What does Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah, say? What does this have to do with hudud?
What are hudud, by the way? Not punishments. Not just any punishments. It's a specific type of punishment. The prescribed punishments, right? That they're not left to a judge to, you know, there's no judiciary discretion. It's set what it is, okay? That's what hudud are. Nah.
And last, what is the relationship between knowing that Allah is Ar-Ra'uf and being sympathetic? Name 3 other benefits gained from knowing that Allah is Ar-Ra'uf.
All right. Don't say it with an ain't.
You're right.
Yeah, don't say it with an ain't.
Ar-Ra'uf.
Yes. All right. So, what's the first thing we're going to start out with? Proof and evidence. Why? Huh?
Everything should be based on proof and
evidence. Everything?
Well,
because we only know Allah's names through revelation. So before we start talking about meanings or we talk about benefits, the first thing we need to do is establish that this is in fact the name of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, all right? I mean, that's just very important because there are other things that you start out with that you may start out a little differently. You may start out with concepts, you know, trying to understand. But here we need to start off with the evidence. Now, Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوف لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. نعم فوزي.
Allah would never allow your faith to go to waste. Indeed, verily, Allah is compassionate and merciful to all mankind. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 143.
طيب. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, that he is compassionate and merciful to all of mankind, or to all mankind. Now, for those of you who were here in the summertime, what is this ayah talking about? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. You remember we were studying Iman. Yes. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the direction of the Qibla. Now, alhamdulillah. No, it's good. Sometimes we just gotta, you know, sharpen up the language a little bit. Alright. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the Qibla from what to what? From Bayt al Maqdis to the Kaaba. To the Kaaba in Mecca. All right. And then what happened was, some of the companions, they were scared for those companions who were killed or who had died prior to the Qibla being changed. What's going to happen with their salawat? They were praying in one direction, but the direction of salat now is Mecca. So what's going to happen? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah is not going to cause your faith, your iman, referring to what? What's iman referring to here?
Salat.
Salat, which is an evidence that iman is not just something that is in the heart, but that it also includes actions. Right? Ta'a, ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, He will never cause your good deeds, your salat, to be in vain. Okay? To be fruitless. To be wasted. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفُ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is compassionate and merciful to mankind. And we'll talk about a little bit more about what that means later on, inshallah. But we're clear on the on here, Him mentioning that He is Ra'uf. طيب. والله عز وجل يقول هو الذي ينزل على عبده آيات بينات ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن الله بكم لرؤوف رحيم. نعم.
It is He who sends down upon His servant verses of clear evidence that He may bring you out from darkness into the light. And indeed, Allah to you is compassionate and merciful.
Nah. Nah. All right. So here, it's clear that He is mentioning Ra'uf along with another one of His names, which is what?
Rahim.
Rahim. And what does Rahim mean? How do we translate Rahim? The beneficent. Right. What did we say was the difference between Rahman and Rahim? Oh, somebody raise their hand if they're confident. Sorry.
Rahman is for non-believers in this life.
No, that's not what we went for here. Go ahead.
Ar-Rahman is His essence. Right.
Right. Ar-Rahman is the name that deals with the essence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His essence is merciful. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ar-Rahim deals more with what? Dealing with how He interacts with His creation. And so that's the one who is merciful is a bit different than the one who is beneficent. The one who's beneficent is the one who extends His mercy to others. Even in English, I'm saying. So it is a pretty decent match. It's a pretty decent match. Merciful and beneficent. And here we're saying Ra'uf is compassionate. Is there a difference between Ra'uf and Rahim? Absolutely. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't mention it at the same time. But what's the difference? We'll have to get to that a little later, inshallah. Right now, we're just going to establish that it is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal also says in Surah Ali Imran, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ.
Nah. On the day when every soul finds all the good it has done present before it, it will wish all the bad it has done to be far, far away. Allah warns you to beware of him, and Allah is compassionate towards His servants. Ali Imran, verse 30.
Right, and this, the name Ra'uf has been mentioned in the Quran 10 times. Applying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's also described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as being Ra'uf and Rahim. Okay? But as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's been mentioned in the Quran 10 times. Alright, so here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yuhadhirukumullahu nafsahu. Allah is telling you to beware of Him. Why? What is this ayah talking about in the beginning? It's talking about the day of judgment. يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. A person is going to be informed on that day of that which they have put forth and that which they have withheld in one tafsir. So The idea is that everybody is going to know the good that they have done, and they're going to see also the bad that they have done. And they're going to wish that there was a barrier between them and the evil they had done. They want to declare themselves innocent from any of that, any of the bad things that they have done. Well, يُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning you. He's warning you that He knows everything, that He sees everything, that these things are going to come to light. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. And even with that, He is still compassionate. He is still compassionate with His servants. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala said that from His compassion to His servants is that He's warning you. It doesn't have to be any warning. Right? I mean, that's something, you know, if we look at what does compassion mean? What does that mean when someone is, so I'm not talking about fi haqqillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it relates to Allah. In general, what does it mean when somebody is compassionate? They care. What else? That's a good point, huh?
They have some sort of kindness about
it. So they have kindness, yes.
Concern.
Right. Compassion actually in old English, it means to suffer with. Right? Now obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not suffer at all. So we're not using that as it relates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we get to a more common understanding, you would say to empathize. You feel the way somebody else feels. Okay. So now imagine you're riding down the street. Okay, you live on this block and you know there's a huge hole. There's a huge pothole. If any normal car is to hit that pothole, it's going to break their axle. It's going to do something to their car. It's going to damage their vehicle. All right. What would you do? You give them a warning. Something. Maybe even put something in the hole so that somebody would see. That's if you're a person who is compassionate. From that compassion, you want them to know that this thing is dangerous. Okay, if you fall into it. That's otherwise you don't have really any obligation. Right? And if you never drove before, you may not even realize what that would do to a car.
Or you
That's another point. You might not care. Right. So here what's happening is the one who is compassionate is going to what? Warn of danger. Because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. This is what Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala is saying, is that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's compassion is that he warns us. Let's keep it going. Fadha.
From the root, Ra, Hamza, Ba'.
Ahsant, by the way. Jazakallah khair.
Which has the following connotations or the following ideas or associated meanings with it.
Right.
One, to be kind, gentle, lenient. Two, to be merciful, compassionate. Three, to show pity. Ra'fa, compassion, is an acute, a sharp, it's really their manifestation of mercy. It's a real show of mercy, which is always invested, which always has within it a sense of pity and sympathy.
All right. So, Ra'fa is here. It does say to be kind, to be gentle, to be lenient. These are some of the definitions that the scholars have given to the term Ra'fa. Also merciful and compassionate, even though there is some difference between mercy and compassion, which we'll cover in a bit, inshallah. But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned them with one another shows you that there is a difference. Allah azza wa jal says also in Surah Al-Hadid, ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ بِرُسُلِنَا وَقَفَّيْنَا بِعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلَ وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. After them, yani after those messengers, we sent other messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, one after the other, we followed them with Isa ibn Maryam. وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلَ, and we gave him the gospel. And we placed in the hearts of those who followed him, yani followed Isa, Ra'fatan wa rahma. Compassion and mercy. All right? So these are some of the definitions of ra'fa, inshallah. In a just a bit, you'll start to see the difference between ar-ra'uf and ar-rahim. Tayyib, mashi.
Meaning of ar-ra'uf, Ibn Jarir, rahimallah, said ra'fa is the most superior form of rahma, that is, of mercy. It encompasses, it contains all the creation in this world, and specifically for some of them in the hereafter. Al-Halimi, rahimullah, said...
Al-Halimi, I don't know if we've quoted him before. Okay, he's one of the scholars of hadith, Abu Abdullah Al-Husayn ibn Al-Hasan. He was Sunni, by the way. Sometimes when you see the Hasan and Hussein thing too many times, you get worried. Al-Husayn ibn Al-Hasan Al-Halimi, who died in the year 403 after the Hijrah. And he was known as the leader of the Muhaddithin in the area which is known in Arabic as Ma Wara al-Nahar, that which is beyond the river. Tayyib, where is that, by the way? Anybody know? Huh? Behind what river? Not the Schuylkill. Not the Schuylkill. Ma Wara al-Nahar. That's a famous term that was used after the Arab conquest of the area north of Afghanistan, Tajikistan, and that area in Central Asia. Amudarya is the name of the river there. I forget what they call it in Arabic, honestly. But anyway, that particular area. Bukhara, like Imam al-Bukhari, is one of the most famous cities in that area. Aywa, Samarkand, huh? Yeah. Well, it is. It's southern, the southern part of what was the Soviet Union, right? Now, like I said, the Kazakhstan and Tajikistan and the other stands. Nah.
Is that called the Caucasus?
I don't know. I don't think that's what they call it, though. Nah.
Al-Halimi, rahimullah, said, Ar-Ra'u is the one who is lenient with his servants. He does not burden them beyond what they can bear. In fact, the load that they carry is much less than that which they can handle. Despite this, Allah commands strict observance of that which he has obligated during times of strain, while lightening, making lighter, that is, the demand at times of weakness. Thus, he holds the one who is living or residing or staying in his own land accountable for more than the traveler, and the one who is healthy for more than the one who is ill. This is a ra'fa, compassion.
This is all ra'fa and rahma. Tell you. Somebody want to bring that back? Summarize what he said?
I was going to say read it again.
Or maybe I could just do this for you, Shaq. Summarize it. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wusaha. Okay, but what is he saying here? What is it? What, like, just put it in your own words. Anybody, fadl, scream it out. Yes.
Even at the time of weakness, being, he still shows compassion and
absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Even though you have the ability to do more, I'm not going to burden you with more.
Allahu Akbar. Even though, I'll repeat that, even though you have the ability to do more, Allah is not burdening you with more. How is that compassionate? Yes. Sorry? He's not maxing you out. but how does that show compassion? How does that show compassion? Because he could. Right. And here there's a degree of empathy, empathizing with others, that if you were in that position, and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above that, but if you were in that position, would you want to be maxed out? You could, like, even when you have employees and things like that, you could put them through a whole lot more than you do. Right? But a lot of times you pull back a little bit, and if you think about it, if you were in that position, you wouldn't want somebody constantly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his ra'fa, out of his compassion, and he doesn't burden that soul even with what it can bear. Subhanallah. Naam Shaykh.
So in his second sentence, saying despite this, Allah commands strict observance of what he has obligated during times of stress.
Yes.
So there's no getting around. If you can do it, you're supposed to.
Right. So at times of strength. Go ahead. Yeah, let him go ahead. Let him go ahead, Shaykh.
So, because this is, I mean, that's a significant point.
Go ahead, say okay. It.
Despite this, the law commands strict observance of what he has obligated during times of strength, while lightening that demand at times of weakness.
Right.
So as an example, I'm just throwing that just to get your feedback. So if we know that we can make it to Hajj, 3 days a week, or 5 times a month, but we make it every 4 months, knowing that we have the ability to do that.
Right. So here, let me go back, because in the Arabic, what he said in the Arabic was, وَغَلَّضَ عَلَيْهِمْ فَرَائِضَهُ فِي شِدَّةِ الْقُوَّةِ, or something like that. And so, anyway, the point is, I remember in the Arabic, he used the word فَرَائِضَهُ. Well, fara'id, here we wouldn't use the example of tahajjud, because tahajjud doesn't come under that category of being a fariḍah, right? But when we look at the obligations in Islam, then there's, like you mentioned initially, there's no way of getting around that. If Allah is giving you the strength, you're healthy, you know, you have the ability to do those things, then there's no getting around that. And you're held accountable to strictly observe those things, right? The issue is, now when you're weak, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when you're traveling, or any of those things that take you away from your normal circumstances, then the rules are relaxed. No. Nah. It's clear with Salat.
Nah, when you're sick, or when you can't move.
It's clear. Salat is one of the clearest examples. Right, so when you're healthy and you have the ability, you do it as it's been prescribed. If you're sick, I mean, subhanAllah, you visit people in the hospital, you'll see it all the time. When you visit the Muslims in the hospital, pray in any kind of way, because they have only that ability to pray like that. They might even pray not even towards the Qibla, with no wudu, right? Because they can't. I mean, imagine, subhanAllah, imagine somebody, you know, who just had surgery, right? Surgery, maybe on their face, on their head, brain surgery. What are they supposed to do? How are they going to make wudu? I mean, a full wudu, I'm saying. How? And then sometimes there's so many, you know, tubes in them and things like that, they can't. Anyway, all right, so we're clear on Ra'uf, inshallah. Tayyip. Yes.
To expect everything to be done, I mean, to the max. And if you don't do them to the max, then it makes a person feel who really can't do it to the max, but, you know, in their heart, they would like to do it. But
sometimes, I got you, Sheikh, but sometimes it's hard to change communities, meaning that to change that community. And you go somewhere where you feel comfortable, inshallah. Help grow that community. Yeah. Tayyip, further.
What's the difference? Can one show mercy without having compassion?
Type, that's a question. Don't go on to number two. I want to hear your answers for that. Can someone show mercy without showing compassion? What does mercy mean? Let's start there. What does mercy mean? Forgiveness. Ah, forgiveness. That's a part of mercy. Huh? Yes, Rahman.
What comes to mind is like you're letting up on something where you could be hurt.
Perfect. SubhanAllah. Because that's actually linguistically, that kind of covers mercy. It's when you... When you offer reprieve, you know, when you could be harsh, but you lay off. Okay? So for example, what happens if the judge shows mercy? Does that mean he let him go?
No.
No. MashaAllah, everybody knows about that one, huh? All right. So what does it mean? What does it mean when the judge shows mercy, huh? Right, so there's some lenience in the sentencing, for example. So maybe the person would have normally gotten a 20-year sentence. They walk away with 6. That's mercy. All right. No. So that's mercy. I want us to understand that. Does that mean that the judge also was compassionate? He empathized with the defendant? No, it doesn't mean that. It could have been political pressure put on him. Don, you know, listen, there's going to be some problems if, you know, you go through with that kind of sentence. Does this sound like Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm sorry if it does. All right. So what happens is sometimes there can be, you know, pressure involved. So the judge is not going to, but that doesn't mean that there's compassion, but there is mercy. There is mercy. So can one show mercy without having compassion?
Yes.
Do we see the difference? A landlord, for example, you know, a person owes them, the tenant owes them $1,500. And not just give me $1,000 this month. Not because they care. They want to be able to hold that over there. That's still showing mercy in terms of the financial side of it, but there's no compassion with that. All right, now keep it going, Sheikh.
Consider the use of compassion in the following translation. Let both the male and female who are guilty of illicit sexual intercourse with each other be punished with 100 lashes each. Do not allow Rafa to sway you from enforcing the law ordained by Allah if you believe in Allah and the last day.
Do not allow ra'fa, which is compassion, to sway you from enforcing the law ordained by Allah. Why do you think, man, this is a good work with your partner exercise. Why do you think here that the word ra'fa was used as opposed to rahma? Go ahead, Sheikh. You want to think about it? You're thinking about it. I was going to give you a 15-second. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Because in many cases,
go ahead, grab him.
In many cases,
yes.
Well, not many cases, but there are family members, relatives, depending on the status of the individual in the community that's being. That's receiving this punishment, there may be individuals who want to show compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have the example of the companion who wanted to intercede on behalf of the wealthy woman,
right,
who had stolen.
Right. Tell you. But okay. Everything you said was correct, but I want to deal exactly with why not let mercy sway you. Yeah.
Because you might have, like, after you lash him a couple of times,
uh-huh.
You might want to, after you lash him a couple of times, you might start feeling bad and have that compassion.
Well, hopefully none of us are going to be lashing anybody. No, I'm just saying. Because I do think sometimes it's important, because some people, they read about the hudud and they think that it's just supposed to be some committee of the Muslims Hey, man, they praying the masjid a lot. Let them do it. No, this is a judicial thing.
Things change once you get into giving the punishment.
Okay. Okay, but that, okay, so what? So why is it, don't allow mercy? Why compassion?
Because the punishment is going
to... So a person, I'm asking you this, can a person still punish someone and they're being merciful to them?
Yeah.
Can a person punish someone and be compassionate to them?
No.
I'll tell you why. Go, you, yeah.
So is it not used there because it's the wudu and it's not to be compromised?
Something like that. But let me just go. Go to Abdurrahman. I saw Abdurrahman. You had your hand up, Shay?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say perhaps it's because the person who's delivering the punishment can relate to what caused the person to fall into the act, and he feels a little remorse. He doesn't want the person to get the
no that that's fall upon them. That's good, Sheikh.
Because the
deen
of Allah
Azza wa Jal, all of it is mercy. The hudud are mercy. How is that? How is the hudud a mercy? Because it's a mercy on society as a whole, because they're preventative. Listen. How many murders did we have in Philadelphia last year? Okay, let's say, how many do they say?
Over 300.
365, something like that.
One a day or something.
Okay, let me just tell you this. That those people who take it kind of lightly and they just murder other people, I'm going to tell you straight, let them see one head rolling down the block. Okay. Nah, this ain't one of them ones where... Oh, we can get off if you get a good lawyer. And that's the reality, subhanAllah. In this society, to say that money doesn't buy justice, come on. No, come on, seriously. I mean, that's the reality. So a person has got a lot of money and they know they can get a good lawyer and they can, you know, they know how to play the courts and all that other stuff like that. You know? Nah. You see a head roll. Not one of those things you go even death row and you get to do appeals for 35 years and all that. Nah. It creates a different type of deterrent. Okay? Because now it's like, wait a minute. Let me think at least twice. You know, before doing something crazy. And similarly, those strict, if you want to look at it like that, the strict laws, rules related to gender relations. Do we have a Me Too movement in Islam? How does Me Too work if we really do in Islam? How do we even get that in those kind of quarters with the opposite gender to even create that type of environment? Right? So these things are put in place as a mercy for society. The punishments, the rules are a mercy. The punishments are also a mercy, and they're a mercy for the individual, because once a person is punished in this life, they're not going to be punished in the hereafter for the same crime. Right? So here, this is all a mercy. Do not allow mercy to sway you from enforcing. No. Mercy's not going to stop me from enforcing this law. It's from Allah's mercy that we're going to enforce this. Don't let ra'fa, don't let that compassion, you know, where you have feel a connection, right, to the person, where you empathize with their situation, don't let that sway you from enforcing. I want us to understand, because I'm telling you, a lot of times these meanings don't come out. You know, like when we talked about Kareem, why did we take that time? Because so many times you just see the all generous. And when we take a step back and we really look at it, it's much deeper than that, right? Ra'uf, also understanding that. Tayyip, bismillah.
Those who know that Allah is our Ra'uf will reflect upon the fact that guidance to Islam is rahmah and rahmah from Allah. If he knows that Allah
is... No. Stop there. Tayyip, think back. Does anybody remember the first ayah we started this class with? When we talked about Allah being Ra'uf, what were we talking about?
Something about
Surah Al-Baqarah. What was it talking about there?
Allah guiding
to
Islam.
La.
How many times?
The first ayah wasn't Surah Al-Baqarah. Salat. Wa ma kana Allahu liyudhi'a imanakum. And Allah would not cause your iman
to be wasted.
He wouldn't cause your good deeds to be in vain. Does anybody know how that ayah starts? Or what's right before that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa ma ja'alna al-qiblata allati kunta 'alayha illa لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولَ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَكَبِيرَةً إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that we didn't make the previous qibla that you prayed to وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الْقِبْلَةَ الَّتِي كُنْتَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا لِنَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولَ مِمَّنْ يَنْقَلِبُ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ. Except that we can make evident those who actually follow the messenger from those who turn back on their heels. How is that and why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests his servants and he's going to show us and he's going to know the knowledge that thawab al-iqab, that reward and punishment is related to. Not the knowledge that preceded our existence, but the knowledge after it comes into existence for which a person is held accountable to. إِلَّا لِيَعْلَمَ مَنْ يَتَّبِعُ الرَّسُولُ. Those who actually follow the messenger. Because some people are going to say, wait, time out. We was praying this way, now we got to pray that way? What kind of religion is this? It's the kind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Who's going to follow the messenger and who's going to follow the way they think about it? Just want to do what I want to do. Uh-huh. When كانت لَكَبِيرَةً, this was difficult for some people. إِلَّا عَلَى الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ, except for those whom Allah guided. And part of that, at the end of the ayah, relates directly to the fact that Allah guided because he is Ra'uf and because he is Rahim, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to reflect upon that. When you think about the ni'mah of Islam, being guided to this deen, every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to wake up as a Muslim. Alhamdulillah ladhi ahyana ba'dama matana wa ilayhi nushur. I mean, you know, just waking up, saying that, waking up as a Muslim, we wake up for what reason? To pray Fajr. To pray Tahajjud. We're waking up to pray for something. The rest of the creation that is not Muslim are waking up to do what? Go to work. To walk the dog. You mean so that their dog can walk them. Can you imagine that, subhanAllah? We got to the point where we walk behind an animal poop, scoop its poop. Like, really, what has happened to us? No, seriously. And you know what? Oh, let me say something, man. SubhanAllah, I remember last year, maybe. I remember exactly when it was, too. I was at Masjid al-Aqsa, and it was Fajr time, and it was cold. And one of the brothers there, one of the brothers, a Palestinian brother, he said, you see, some people complain about coming to the masjid. He said, but these people out here walking their dogs in this cold. You can't come to the masjid. You know, his thing was, and it's real when you look at that, but a shape of shayyuthkara, they say, right? One thing leads to another. But that's the reality. Other people are not waking up for the purpose of worshiping Allah. They're waking up for the purpose of worshiping dollars and cents, right? And we kind of talked about that in the khutbah as well, how people prioritize. What is your priority? What keeps you up at night? Is it you thinking about a sin you may have committed and is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with you? Or is it balancing your books? Oh my God, how am I going to pay that bill? What keeps you up? And what gets you up in the morning? Because at the end of the day, what you prioritize is most likely what you're going to wind up worshiping. Allah Mustaan. What are you going to say, Shaq?
The ayah to explain that at the end of it, it says, Benassi.
No.
I'm thinking about he's still compassionate to those who believe and don't.
Right, because his compassion does extend even to the ones who don't believe, because he gives them the chance to enter into Islam. He shows them guidance. Hey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah. And the ones who were not shown guidance in this life, they never saw the message as it should be seen, their test is not in this life. Their test will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. He's Ra'uf, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rahim. Now, Fadl Shaykh.
Those who know that Allah is our Ra'uf will strive to reach the level of true servitude.
Huh, why do you think that is? وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. Allah warns you about himself. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. Allah is Ra'uf with his servants, with the ibad, with the servant. So you want to reach that level of true servitude, of true ubudiyah, so that you can be one of those ones who get Allah's special compassion and his special ra'fa. And that true ubudiyah, the crux of it is three things. Mahabbatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loving Allah. And this is part of our study here. Knowing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is will increase you in that love for him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fearing Allah and hoping in Allah. Those three things summarize for us what true ubudiyah means. Now, follow Shaykh.
And he will be keen, or she will be keen, to enjoin the good and forbid the evil.
Now, why is that? What is it about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being compassionate that would push you to enjoin the good and forbid the evil? Yes. So you can help others. Jazakallah khairan. Because what it is that compassion that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have with you should extend to your relationship with others. And when you see them doing something that is wrong, you don't want them to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that, carrying that. And you want to encourage them to do that which is good, that is going to gain them, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Naam, Shaykh.
And this will open their hearts to the Quran.
Those who know that Allah is Ra'uf will, that knowledge will open their hearts to the Quran. How? How? Okay, let's go back. Let's go back. Read the bottom ayah there. هو الذي ينزل على عبده آيات بينات ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وإن الله بكم لرؤوف رحيم. It is he who sends down upon his servant verses of clear evidence. What is that? The Quran. That he may bring you out from darkness into the light. And indeed Allah is to you compassionate. He is Ra'uf. Part of his Ra'fa is that he sends you these ayat, that he has revealed to us the Quran to take us out of darkness and into the light. You understand? So those who know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Ra'uf will open their hearts to the Quran. They will try to learn the Quran. They will ponder over the Quran. Naam, Shaykh.
And those who know that Allah is Ar-Ra'uf will show compassion to Allah's creation.
And let's just look at some of those examples of compassion from the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Father Shaykh.
Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhu
reported. Radiyallahu anhu humat. Two of them.
Okay.
Both Nu'man and his father were Muslim.
Reported that Allah, radiyallahu anhuma, reported that Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the believers in their mutual love, mercy, and sympathy are just like one body. When one of the limbs suffers, the whole body responds to it with wakefulness and fever. Mutafakun alayhi.
Yes. Tayyib. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam here is showing us that we are supposed to be sympathetic to one another, that we're supposed to feel the pain of other Muslims, and that if we're not like that, then there's a deficiency in our iman. This is the believers in their mutual love, mercy, sympathy. Right? We're supposed to have that for each other. And that's part of knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf. Fadl Shaykh.
Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "When I stand for prayer, I intend to prolong it. But on hearing the cries of the child, I cut it short, as I dislike to trouble the child's mother."
Allahu Akbar. Tayyip. This shows you a practical example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showing compassion, showing empathy. He can feel the pain of that mother who's sitting up there trying to pray and not getting anything out of her prayer, because all she's worried about is her child that is crying. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will, upon hearing that, you know, would cut the prayer short, not prolong it. Now, Father.
Sahal ibn Sa'd, had the laser sign in the relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "He who takes care of an orphan and me will be like this in paradise. He who takes care of an orphan will be like me and him, like this in paradise."
He and I guess, yeah. Or she and I will be like this in paradise. Now, and he raised his forefinger and his middle finger by way of illustration, even though some of the narrations say, but he didn't hold them together. I mean, there was some distance. Okay. But the point is that they would be like what? Like this close in Jannah. Tayy. How does that show compassion? Because showing that compassion for an orphan, you know that the child has lost his father. Right? Al yatim in Arabic is the one who's lost the father. Okay? Lost the father, lost the breadwinner, lost it. And now the Prophet is saying, show compassion to that family and help raise that child. SubhanAllah.
That should have been "and I."
Okay. I didn't translate it. Now. All right. Dua based on this divine name. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the most perfect names. So, make dua to him with those names. And this dua comes in the Quran, and we should be reciting it frequently, or we should make this dua frequently. رَبَّنَا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِيَخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. اقرأ شيخ.
Lord, our Lord, forgive us our sins and the sins of our brothers who believed before us, and leave no malice, no hard feeling, no bad feelings in our hearts toward those who believe.
Allahu Akbar. Lord, truly. Where are we from that? Seriously. Leave no malice in our hearts towards those who, wallahi, we get caught up in the minutiae. We take things, we just ignore the broad rules, and we get caught. But I read something here, I read something there. Sufyan didn't pray over this one. Tell you.
So what do you say? So what do you say when this? Like you said it. I couldn't say it, but it's clear as the sun is in the sky. It's high as the hadith.
What you say is alhamdulillah. That's made it clear to me. Nah, because the reality is Islam is very clear. And the majority of the world is not Muslim, right? I got you. What I'm trying to say, follow the stages. Islam is very clear. Yet only 2% of Americans are Muslim.
Wow.
Even though Islam is very clear to us, alhamdulillah. And these things are very clear, but there are a lot of Muslims that just can't see it. And so you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has opened your eyes to the truth. You praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And you make dua for the rest of the Muslims. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِيَخْوَانِنَا. Oh Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers. الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ, those who preceded us in faith. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And don't put any malice in our hearts for the other people. I'm staying. And Allah also says in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. That's how you used to be before. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. But Allah favored you. Allah favored you. So don't look at it as something like you're just smart, you're intelligent, you was in the right place at the right time. Allah guided you. Allah, subhanAllah. Nah. Fadl Sheikh. Did you finish?
Next screen, yeah. I would say you are truly compassionate.
No, I ain't on, there's no next screen yet. This needs to sink in. This is not something, this is a nice dua. No, this is a dua you need to know. You need to say it. You need to repeat it. It's in what surah, by the way? Surah Al-Hashr, which is the 59th chapter in the Quran. It's the 10th verse. Go back to it. I want to read what Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, says. Sa'di in his tafsir, he says, He says, وَهَذَا الدُّعَاءٌ شَامِلٌ لِجَمِيعِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنَ السَّابِقِينَ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَمَنْ قَبْلَهُمْ وَمَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ وَهَذَا مِنْ فَضَائِلِ الْإِيمَانِ أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَنْتَفِعُ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ وَيَدْعُ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. Okay. So here, let's just look at the context real quick, and then we'll talk about what Sa'di said. This ayah comes in Surah Al-Hashr. Right before it, does anybody know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about?
He gives a description of the first Muhajirin.
Right. First he gives a description of Muhajirin.
Then about the Ansar and then us.
Right. And then he gives a description of the Ansar. And who were the Muhajirin? Yeah, but how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe them?
Yeah.
الَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ لَا أيوة. Those are the Ansar. الَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُ الدَّارَ. How does he describe the Muhajirin? أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. Right. They were the ones that were thrown out from their home. Not some of them literally, but others because they really had no other option. There was the things were so bad in Mecca that they had to leave their own home. They had to leave their own places. And they made hijrah. And then the Ansar did what? They hosted them. They took them in. Right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the stories is amazing, subhanAllah. I don't know anything like it in history. But the point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising them. And then he says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. And then those who come after them, meaning after the Muhajirin and Ansar, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا. They say this. So this is what we should be saying. So as Sa'di rahimullah says, this dua encompasses all of the believers. From the Sahaba, he says, and even those who were before them and after them. Were there believers before Sahaba? Absolutely. Those who follow Musa, weren't they believers? Those who follow Isa, believers. Those who follow Yusuf, believers. Like, من السابقين من الصحابة ومن قبلهم ومن بعدهم. And those who came after them. وهذا من فضائل الإيمان. This is from the virtue of faith, that the believers benefit from one another and they make dua for each other. بسبب المشاركة في الإيمان. Because they take part in iman. This is the common denominator between them. التي من فروعها يدعو بعضهم لبعض. And part of a branch that comes off of that, the fact that they are believers, is that they make dua for one another. ويحبوا بعضهم بعضا. And they love one another. ولهذا ذكر الله تعالى في هذا الدعاء أو ذكر الله تعالى في هذا الدعاء نفي الغل في القلب. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this dua the negation of malice in the heart. الشامل لقليله وكثيره, which comprises both any little minute part and any large manifestation of that malice. الذي إذا انتفى ثبت ضده وهو المحبة بين المؤمنين. Because if there is the absence of غل, then there will be the presence of his opposite, which is the love between the believers. All right? So this is a critical dua that we make, frequently. Tayyib. Next, and this is the last slide, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. You can see I wanted you to make this dua, right? Those who came after them say, Lord, forgive us our sins and the sins of our brothers who believed before us, and leave no malice in our hearts towards those who believe. Lord, you are truly compassionate and merciful. Discuss with your partner some of the possible benefits of Allah mentioning his name, Ar-Ra'uf, with the divine name Ar-Rahim, in this particular ayah. All right, so you have 1 minute and 36 seconds to work with your partner. Y'all have it. With your partner, discuss some of the benefits. Oh, you better turn to your partner. You're not talking. Alhamdulillah. Forty seconds. Seconds, 2, 1, 0. Where's the mic, Sheikh? Doctor. Dr. Mukhtar. The mic, Sheikh. No, I don't want you. I want you to take the mic to those who may be answering the question, inshallah. All right. What are some of the possible benefits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning his name here in this ayah, Ar-Ra'uf, with the divine name, Ar-Rahim? Yalla, bismillah.
So the Sheikh said, talked about the malice piece. And the fact that if there was some malice, whether it was small or big, if you had compassion and mercy, then it would, extinguish.
It would extend, right. Your compassion. Okay, but why both names? That's good. Compassion would take away the malice. Okay. Yeah. Wherever you see a hand raised, follow the fingers. Follow those fingers in the sky.
Well, because you can hate someone, but ask Allah for compassion for them too.
Give me some more.
Like, you might not like them, but you still don't want them to be punished.
Okay. So you're saying that a person may not have malice in his heart towards someone, but still not like them, and still want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have compassion on them. Okay. All right. No, it's possible. It really is. Okay. Follow the finger, Sheikh. It's up to you.
Because Allah, He allow you to ask for forgiveness for yourself and ask for forgiveness for those who came before you. That believe.
Now you're on to something. Yeah. Keep going. So how is that mercy and compassion? What is that here? That's good. That's good.
This is Abdul Rahman.
Right, that there's a direct connect between Rahim and the sins. So there's a direct connection between Ighfir lana wa li ikhwana, forgive us and forgive our brothers, there's a direct connection with forgive us and Rahim. Tayyip.
Mm. And also the fact that they're asking for leniency for their brothers is compassion.
Right, and their leniency, that they're asking for leniency for others is also part of their compassion, and so they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being the compassionate. Nice. And they're seeking to emulate that characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah. Well stated. Well stated. JazakAllah khairan. No, I thought that's where you were going with it. I really did.
This greatness goes back to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. None of you truly believes until you love for your brother what you love for yourself.
Right.
How can you do that without having Ra'uf?
Wanting for your brother what you want for yourself. Part of that is needing that you have to have at least some degree of Ra'uf and compassion. Those are all great answers. Father, finish off with Sheikh Hanif. Sheikh Hanif.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Just kind of bringing it full circle. The ayat that we begin with, kind of pulling off of what, or jumping from what Abdurrahman mentioned, the idea of that same sense of compassion and concern for brothers. And so the idea of we're praying and we're getting rewarded. We don't want to get that reward, just like on the day of judgment when they're going to go and get their brothers out of hell. The idea that we want our reward, but we're genuinely concerned that our brothers
Allah are Akbar. Too.
And so he mentions in that ayah.
Right. He mentions even in that, in the first ayah that we talked about, Ra'uf Rahim, because they were not just concerned about their own salat, but they were concerned about, well, what about our brothers? They passed already. And they're emulating that attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his compassion. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad subhanakallahu wa hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. This has genuinely been a great experience. And I think for all of us to just take this time to really, you know, one of the things that Sheikh Hanif and I are very concerned about is raising the literacy level of our community as a whole. And that starts with the Quran. There's nothing that you can read that is better than the Quran. And then taking that time and really, like, just think about it. We took a minute and a half right now. We kind of talked with your partner. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention this? And then we discussed it as a group and we talked about some of the possible benefits. Is there anything better we can be doing in terms of knowledge? I mean, subhanAllah, I'm really trying to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and hopefully get a better appreciation. Many brothers and sisters have mentioned that, you know, over the last few months, over the last year or so, when we started these exercises, if you will, of really just trying to ponder over the Quran, right, that it feels different now. You read the Quran, it touches you in a different way. You might just, now you catch Ra'uf, Ra'fa, Kareem, this. What did you say, Sheikh Saifullah? What is kun Kareem? Right? This wasn't just it just wasn't generous sustenance now. This is a noble sustenance. It has a different feel to it, subhanAllah, when you can start dissecting, you know, if I can use that word, loosely. Anyway, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to benefit us and to raise us in iman and to give us an increase in knowledge and righteous actions. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.